Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Thursday, everybody. Sean Campbell and Adam Herhaus, your local alternative solid state radio. Lots of fun stuff to get into today. I just like kind of want to get the baseball stuff out of the way before Adam gets in. We got four game sets coming up against the Boston Red Sox starting tonight. I don't have a whole lot of faith here. The Red Sox, of course, sitting at 500, but they, of course, also play in a real division. Looks like Jack Flaherty getting the start tonight for Detroit, who's had a pretty nice season for the team. Nick Pivetta getting the start for Boston. Flaherty's now has thrown five straight quality starts after his losing effort against the Blue Jays. He put up a 2.84 ERA over those five games. You're not going to complain too much about that. 45 strikeouts and 31 innings in that span. Five walks, but four home runs, which is admittedly a little bit concerning. The way things shake out, though, I feel like at least splitting the series is not completely out of the question here. You've got the edge in two of the pitching matchups for sure. You got Reese Olson going up against Cooper Criswell, who's pitching to the tune of a 3.96 ERA right now. Again, if the Tigers can actually give him any semblance of run support. And tonight, honestly, looks fairly favorable, too. I don't expect that Kenta Maeda's next start against Tanner Houck, one of the better pitchers in the league, is going to go particularly smoothly. Although, his last start actually was probably his best of the season. And then Casey Mize has struggled the last month. So you're not really expecting a whole ton there from him. The current minor annoyance that I'm seeing, though, is that from the rose-colored glasses Tiger faithful here, well, they're only three games out of the wild card. Yes, and every team ahead of you in said wild card is significantly better than you. We already know, obviously, KC and the Twins are better. Baltimore, we don't even have to even really say it. The Red Sox, I'm not entirely convinced that they're not ultimately a better baseball team than you are, too. At the very least, we're going to prove that here over this next four-game set, one way or the other. But I admittedly don't expect this to last very long. Like, I think Tampa Bay and Toronto will be pushing you before too long, considering that those teams are respectively a half game and a full game behind you currently, and the Blue Jays also being the worst team in the AL East. Yeah, you're going to get lapped by an entire division by the time all said and done. And I don't expect the Astros to be this terrible all year either. At least we're not Chicago, though, sitting 16 games out. So we have that going for us, I guess, which is nice. Plenty of stuff to do today. We're not going to spend all day bitching about the Tigers. I promise. It is happy hour at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. So leading up to a wedding, it's just the most stressful time for most people, really, in their entire lives. Like, I'm sure going up to yours was not exactly, a picnic by any stretch.
No, I mean, it's a stressful moment.
Rach had to deal with some unfortunate things that were not related to the wedding in the week leading up to when her and I got hitched. Uh-huh. For me, it was just a whole lot of fun. Well, which bottle of whiskey am I going to drink tonight? But some people have even bigger problems than that to deal with.
Well, there's things that you just can't control. I mean, there's weather, there's cakes being dumped over, flowers dying, limo driver, or in my case, we were supposed to have a pig roast. The guy who was supposed to cook the pig got busted for a DUI the day before.
Don't you hate when that happens?
It happens, but this poor woman, she got fired from her job on her wedding day.
Why? What could she have possibly, unless you're literally stealing from the company, there's no excuse for this.
I don't know. I've been reading this courtesy of People Magazine, and I can't find out why this company decided to let her go. I mean, maybe it was her boss, her ex-boyfriend, or did she call into work to get married? I mean,
is the boss just pissed that he didn't get invited?
Maybe.
What's going on here?
Could have been. Here's a story. A bride received some upsetting news on what was meant to be one of the happiest days of her life. While enjoying her wedding reception with her loved ones earlier this month in Cyprus, a UK woman checked her phone and was shocked to see a WhatsApp message from her boss letting her know her employment had been terminated. Bride shared her story, explaining that her boss and her other colleagues knew it was a day she was getting married. He started with a text message, "I hope your wedding day went well and that you had a nice time away." She then proceeded
to read
out the rest of the message. I just want to let you know that the decision has been made to unfortunately let you go. An email has been sent to your personal email address detailing this. I'm really sorry that it didn't work out and wish you all the best moving forward. So he sent the email, but decided, let's really just twist
that
knife.
Let's just ruin her wedding day. Well, what a garbage human.
Askins, the bride, interjected to say, wait. Askins say he was stunned by the boss's inexplicable decision to fire the bride on such an important day in her life. I just don't know what to say to that because that's one of the worst things I've ever heard because it meant one of the best and most amazing days ever, and they've done that. The bride went on to detail how she got the first inkling that all was not well. I didn't keep my phone on me at all during the ceremony, and it wasn't until I sat down later I thought, I've got a lot of well wishes to go through. And the first thing I noticed was that I was blocked and removed from all the company's WhatsApp groups. I was like, oh, what's going on here? Then I saw my boss's message and all my friends are sitting around me, and I just gasped. So then, of course, the next thing you do is check your emails. And in an official termination letter email, she was informed that she was losing her job because her performance doesn't meet the expectations we require for the role. She was planning a wedding.
Right, that might have a little something to do with it. It's like, that was like, you have to believe that absolutely was calculated to like hit at that time just to like twist the knife in.
Oh yeah, what a cold-hearted company. It's like, yeah, we're probably gonna let her go. Should we wait? Should we do it before a wedding? No, doing it before a wedding would be pretty shallow. Let's do it the day of. Yeah, that's a good idea.
That's just terrible, man.
I know. That boss, he's going to be visited by three spirits on Christmas. I know it.
It's going to happen for sure. Like, how bad does your performance have to be? Or just how, or really just how much of a, just a bitch would you have to have been that your boss is seriously, they know it's your wedding.
Start the whole thing out. Oh, hope you had a great day.
And then like, oh, by the way, you're fired.
Yep.
Like that's where I really like, you had to have done something really bad to these people.
She wasn't performing as expected in the job. It was probably a new job. It was probably like, we have to, of course, this is British rules. I don't know what the British rules are, but it's like, oh, man, we got to keep her. If we keep her for more than 90 days, we have to keep her. I mean, or we have to give her, like, you know, unemployment benefits or anything like that. And it's like, oh, day 89? Oh, we better pull the trigger on this one.
I mean, clearly.
So you got something old, something new, something blue, something borrowed. The borrowed was your job. We're taking it back.
But I don't believe there was anything pink mentioned in there, though. At least not to the best of my knowledge.
Yeah, here's something pink. Oh, sorry.
Pink slip. It's just what I always wanted.
We put it in a nice envelope for you.
Aw, how sweet of them.
And, you know, they could have just sent it in an email and called it good. Yeah, she'll find it later.
Right.
No, they're like, oh.
We need to make sure she sees this, like, right now. Like, this is why I'm convinced that she has had to be an absolutely just, like, catty bitch to these people for them to.
Yeah, she's probably like, I don't need this job. I'm marrying somebody. I'm being married in Cyprus. I don't need this. I'm getting married, everybody. And she's probably one person that just wouldn't. Maybe we're looking at it from a different perspective now.
Right.
Maybe she was just like one of those people that just would not shut up about her wedding for like 6 months. They had to listen to every detail, and she would work it into like every like conference meeting. Okay, everybody, we're going to talk about last quarter profits. Oh, speaking of which, next quarter, I'm getting married. I don't know if anybody heard anything. And I don't think you're invited. You're not invited. And you're on a slippery slope. By the way, I am registered over at, you know, Saks Fifth Avenue. If you guys want to still, even though you're not invited, pick me up something. Anyway, oh, the flowers. I got to tell you about the flowers. You know, they're like, we're going to ice this bitch. This bitch is getting sacked.
Yep, I am absolutely convinced that that's what had to happen.
Now, like, you know what? I kind of think that. I hope so. I hope no boss would be so callous to, oh, yeah, hey, want to thank you for your 4 weeks of work here at our company, but you go on get
out. Yeah, no, I don't imagine there's any way that that's how that went down or how that would have went down were you not, like, just a terrible human. Like, that's the only
That's the only explanation there is, right?
This article doesn't mention the company she worked for, which is probably for the best, because a lot of people will be just slamming them.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, no good probably comes from that. I guess we can probably... But then again, I would just like to see... I feel like I'm sure they can't, because, you know, that's one of those things that just opens you up for lawsuits and things of that nature, but, like...
I wonder if you could... I mean, in... I don't know about the United Kingdom, but America, we're sue happy. You could just say, you know...
We're the most sue happy people that ever sued.
Your Honor, my boss knew I was getting married, knew I spent a whole lot of money, knew it was stressful, and purposely made this decision. I don't know. Can you really sue over hurt feelings?
Probably. You forget what country we live in, Harry Hawk.
You can sue for anything.
You can absolutely sue for anything.
Yeah, it could happen.
I wouldn't put it past her.
Sure.
There's probably a lawsuit coming like any day now. Guarantee it.
Wrongful termination. How was it wrongful? They did it during my wedding. The labor board was like, are you effing me? They did what? Yeah, they did it during my wedding. Wow, what do you do for an encore? Fire somebody when they're giving birth to a baby? I see the head. Ding, ding, ding. Hang on, I got a text. Oh, God. Better hurry up before my insurance is canceled. Oh, jeez.
God.
Yeah.
I mean, that'll be probably the best wedding gift of all is the settlement on that lawsuit.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. You can gift wrap it, you SOB.
Right, put a nice little big old bow on that thing. Ready to tell some a-holes that they're a-holes, Adam?
Yes. I think we already did.
Well, I'm not sure which... Well, either side of those could have been an a-hole.
I like how we did this. I thought we were very very fair. We looked at it from both standards.
Both sides. Look at us go. Look at us in our whataboutism. I love it.
Whataboutism. Okay. All right.
Let's dive into a little bit.
All right. Let's do that.
Am I the a-hole, shall we? Am I the a-hole for trying to give my son his birth photos?
Birth photos? I mean, oh, God, no.
Oh, this is...
You're not talking about, like, you know, her legs all akimbo and him entering the world through her...
Probably, but this gets even worse than that.
Oh, God.
So I tried to give my son his birth photos, and now he's upset at me / won't talk to me. Context, I, 64-year-old woman, have one child, 31-year-old male, who I admit we spoiled. We gave him everything. Food, birthdays, paid for every activity and vacation.
Oh, you gave him food? Wow.
We gave him clothes.
Slow down.
Food.
Rockefeller.
On paper, he's a perfect son. Did well in school, never got into trouble. Visits often, sends flowers on my birthday / Mother's Day. He even pays for a lot now that he's working. Still, he's always acted extremely ungrateful considering all we've done for him. I can tell he keeps me at a distance, calls maybe once a week at most, doesn't share very much about his life when he does. When he visits, he'll do things like demand I turn down the TV if he's doing something for work or studying, not realizing this our place, not his. Last year, my husband and I took him and his girlfriend to a cabin for the weekend, and even though I paid for everything, he asked if he could take the larger room. The reason was he has a severe cat allergy, asthma, and that was the only room not covered in cat hair. Sure, it made logical sense, but it still seemed extremely rude since I paid for the whole trip. So we visited again for a week on his vacation, which was nice, but things started going south. For starters, he slept in every morning. He preferred to sleep than spend that extra time with us. Great, he's a medical resident, and I get he works a lot of hours, but still it seemed very selfish. The second to last day he was here, my husband tried to wake him up around 6, 7 a.m. to see if he would go with him to see his new workplace. My son basically just said no and went back to sleep. I was furious. He can't even do this one thing for his dad who's proud of his new job. When he finally got up around 9 a.m., I was very upset. He asked me why I was so angry, and I told him. He got extremely defensive, saying he could just try a visit later in the day. He didn't see what the big deal was. He just didn't get it. It wasn't the timing. It was that he didn't seem to care enough to sacrifice his precious sleep to show his dad he cares. I got so angry, I went upstairs and got all his birth photos together and gave them to him in a plastic bag, saying, I don't want a son who is so ungrateful and can't do the bare minimum for us.
Wow.
I kid you not, he basically laughed in my face and refused to take them, saying I was overreacting. I was furious. I could tell he was also upset and just said he couldn't believe what I did. Hello, what about what you did? And didn't talk to me for the rest of the visit. He's never behaved this rudely or talked back like this before. It's been a month now and he's still barely responding. I get maybe I lost my temper, but in my defense, one, they're photos of him. Two, he hasn't really shown he appreciates us.
And three, it's not like I was angry out of nowhere. My husband agrees with me, but my son still maintains what I did was wrong. Am I the a-hole?
Yes!
Not only are you the a-hole, I'm not convinced that this is a real letter. Like, this is either rage bait or this is something that the son set in to try and, like, demonstrate that his parents are indeed a bunch of a-holes.
Yeah, I mean, he works a lot, and he one of his vacation is he gets to sleep. That's part of what he wants to sleep. You take him out to a cabin. He's allergic to cats, and he wanted the room, not because of the size, but the fact that he would be able to enjoy his vacation.
Right.
And you have a problem with that. The dad wakes him up at 7 in the morning to look at a building that he could see at any other time and just says, no, he probably should have said, no, can we do it later? And maybe he did. We're just not getting that. And she is basically, because he picked a bigger room, he wants me to turn down the TV, and he won't wake up at 7 in the morning to go see it. Well, I am cutting all ties. Here's everything. Here's your baby photos. I want you out. You know. What a load. What an absolute load.
Fine, I'll take this. I'll take all your stuff and just don't ever contact me again.
Oh, no, I think he's right when he said she was being ridiculous. She is being ridiculous. It sounds like, I don't know. She wants more of a relationship with her son, and I get it. Absolutely, but the way
she's
going about it is all wrong.
I don't even get that. Like, you're getting calls and, you know, visits and whatnot from him once, you know, at least once a week. I don't talk to my folks that nearly that often, honestly, and we don't hate each other. Like, it's not like where you're saying he's being rude and disrespectful, I'm not seeing that. What? Because he wants to sleep in till 9 in the goddamn morning?
That's not sleeping in.
No.
That's getting up early.
Oh, he won't sacrifice his precious sleep. You know that thing that all humans need to live?
Yeah. Tell you what.
How dare he? That ungrateful bastard.
Wake her
disown
up.
Disown him, clearly.
Wake her up at 2 in the morning. Hey, want to come see my work? I work in a hospital. They're open. Come on, let's go. Oh, you don't want to go? Oh, you look pretty sleepy. I mean, it's only 2 in the morning. This is usually when I'm going on lunch. Come on, bitch, let's go.
Right? Can't sacrifice your precious sleep for
me?
Oh
my gosh. Well, here's my first tooth that you saved, and you know my booties that you bronzed, and you know, and everything else. You know, you can just go suck an egg, Mom. Terrible mother. Oh my god.
Worst mother ever.
Oh jeez. I mean, you keep the TV up while I'm trying to have a phone call. You probably got to blast and listen to Wheel of Fortune. You don't even know the puzzles. You're that stupid. Then you try to watch Jeopardy, and we have to change the subject because you're just embarrassing yourself.
Like this, it's amazing that this kid turned out like any kind of normal, given that his mother is the worst person in the world.
You notice that she never says that. Oh yeah. His father's on my side, too. The father's just like, I know. She didn't take her little yellow pill. She's being a bitch. It's, you know.
Right.
She, like, menopause is a crazy thing, son. I think, do you have an extra room at your house? Because I think I'm going to go stay with you for a while.
Probably would be the worst idea.
she makes me drink a lot, son. Well, she really does. I fantasize about taking a toaster into the shower. I really do. Yeah,
it's really amazing that you don't have a drinking problem from this, son. Because I know I do. Where's the 5 o'clock vodka?
5 o'clock. Spring for the good stuff, Dad, huh? Well, they ran out of Crystal Palace. Yeah, really, son. I mean, yeah, don't take the photos. I mean, yeah, you don't really want those photos, trust me. I mean, your mom was hepped up on peyote when she had you, and she just was not looking good.
Explain so much.
Yeah. Now, is she the a-hole? Yes. Yes,
absolutely,
she is. And I can't even lean in a little bit and say, oh, okay, well, maybe he could have done this. The only thing I could think of is that when his dad says, hey, you want to come see the place where I work? Like, oh, can we see it later? Can we go do that later?
Are we sure that he didn't?
I don't know. This letter doesn't say that, but I can't imagine, like, no, father!
Yeah, I don't picture that. I mean, that's also an a-hole move, waking someone at 6 o'clock to go see your office.
Yeah.
Like,
or he may not even... It may have been one of the things where he's half asleep and he's like, oh, no, just falls back to sleep.
Right.
And he's like, oh, no, I get it. No, we can do a little later on. She's like, no, 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 Harold.
We are doing this right
now. We gave birth to him. We own him. He has to do what we say. It's in the right. It's in the Constitution.
Yeah, I'm sure that's exactly.
I saw it on Jeopardy. Oh, God damn, Gladys. Not everything is what is Julius Caesar. I know one day you're going to get it right, but God damn it. I want to put a pistol in my mouth every time I hear Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy together. Oh, my God.
Oh, poor. Poor that Harold. Entire family, really.
Yeah, Harold. I gave him the name Harold. Harold and Gladys.
I meant poor the whole family in general. See, it's stories like these that really kind of emphasize why I always suggest going no contact with people. These exact people that make me realize that when Adam's all giving me a hard time of, oh, you just want us to tear every family apart, just like no contact, no contact. Then I see something like this and I realize, you know what? I was right this whole time through you, Adam.
I just have this picture of your mom you staying at your old house for whatever reason. Rachel wisens up and throws you out. Whereas I'm like, then you're sleeping there, and your mom throws open the door. Hey, you want to go see where I work? get out of here, Mom.
Please, she wouldn't be up that early. Hope that helped. So we're rather fortunate, at least in doing this, that in theory, we could do our gig from pretty much anywhere in the world, thanks to technology and whatnot. In fact, I'm trying to figure out how we could do a live remote from Toronto when we end up going to see the Stanley Cup for your 50th birthday or whatever.
That would be cool. I mean, yeah, the modern thing of radio is pretty fantastic. We just do the show live from the Hockey Hall of Fame. What are you guys doing? Nothing. Nothing.
Nope, definitely not doing any radio right now. No, that's not for at sure. All.
The Stanley Cup's over here? Okay, great, huh? Back after this.
And apparently this is becoming an increasing practice for people who no longer have to be tethered to an office, who don't necessarily have as fun of a job as we do. Hush trips, apparently. They have a new term for this. It's working remotely from someplace other than your home and not telling your boss, hence the hush part of the travel. But, you know, this person, apparently the good people over at Inc. have decided that, well, screw having fun. In fact, you should be firing your employees if they're working remote and not from their house and not telling you.
Yeah. Nice try, Junior.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently you should have a policy against hush trips, and here's why. Some insert popular TikToker here, don't care, often makes videos making fun of stick-in-the-mud corporate types. She advocates for logging off precisely at 5. I'm good with that.
Oh, yeah.
Refusing to work any extra without being paid. Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
And working wherever there's Wi-Fi.
Sure.
We can argue about the implications of logging off precisely at 5 o'clock or unpaid overtime, which I have a feeling that that's going to be, which also I love in the article when it says, we can argue about the only doing your actual daily 9 to 5, and says, what to do about your lazy employees? Of course you would. That's the side you would come down on.
Oh, yeah. They're not talking about the employee you like who just seems to get everything done. No, yeah. That person's cool. We like that person.
But there's no legally acceptable way to argue in favor of advocating that home is where the Wi-Fi is. You can't work anywhere you want to. Sure, it sounds awesome to be a digital nomad and travel the world or country and get your work done. It's living the dream. Yeah, you're right. So I guess we could just stop there. We're all in agreement on this.
But
as a business owner or manager, you have to be registered in a particular state to have an employee who works there. And if your employee jets off to another country, that's even more complicated. Every state and country has rules regarding people temporarily working in their location. Those cover taxation rules, right to work, and business registration. But who's going to be outing themselves as being how are the authorities going to find out about this exactly?
Well, yeah, I mean, see, that doesn't make sense, because if I'm working sales for a major corporation and I jet off to China or whatever, I'm still doing my job from in another country.
Right. Like if you're going elsewhere as a salesperson, does that mean that
you are now having to pay taxes for making that call to that country or whatever. Like, I don't think that's how that works.
No.
Someone who's a little more versed in employment law than I should probably, you know, could clarify that for us. But
it's somebody who is old school that still believes, that continues to believe that it's not work if you're enjoying it.
That's kind of what this sounds like.
So you can do your job from your house, but if you're able to do your job from a hotel room or from a cafe, your favorite cafe, or a friend's house, well, then that's just unacceptable.
Right. Employees also, taxation is only part of your legal worries. Employees are covered by the employment laws of the location in which they work. So if you think your employee is in Arizona but has secretly gone to California to work by the beach, they are subject to California employment protection, which includes overtime pay for more than 8 hours in a day and a higher minimum salary for exemption. Now, honestly,
is that true, though? Because, I mean, you're still employed by that company that's in, you know, Arizona or whatever. So it doesn't matter if you're in that whatever country or state you're in, you're still working for that country, that company.
Like, I know there's, like, you know, like the jock laws and things where, like, say NFL players are taxed according to, you know, the rules of the state in which they played that day.
Oh, like, really? Wow.
That is apparently a thing for them. But, like, for this, like, you're literally just, you know, crossing the border and going to hang out in the, you know, hang out at the beach. Like, that's not a thing. You're not getting taxed for that. That's stupid.
No. You're not, because you're not making money in that city. You're making it from your home, from your company.
And quite frankly, if your employee's going to come back and be like, well, now you owe me this overtime pay because I was actually doing the work here, haha, then you can be like, well, we didn't agree for you to do that work there. And then they'll be able to deny that out of hand.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm pretty sure that no court's going to uphold the employee to pull in that crap.
Yeah, exactly. Your Honor, they said they were in California and they're trying to tell me that I owe them because that's what their wage is. And I'm saying, screw that. And the judge would be like, you know what? Yeah, screw that.
Right.
Hit the gavel, throw the gavel at the person trying to get overtime.
Exactly. But nobody cares about working on vacation. This is largely true. California won't come after your employees, your business, if they work from the beach for a week. The Bahamas aren't raiding hotel rooms to see if people are vacationing or doing Zoom calls. But what if, heaven forbid, an employee suffers an accident while working? That would fall under a workers' comp claim, but the boss hasn't authorized that travel, so will you be covered?
Nope.
Some plans limit the number of travel days covered. Well, no, because workers' comp also implies that it's an injury that was suffered in the course of doing your job. Like, if you come up and get bit by a crab or something on the beach, that doesn't relate to your job because they didn't send you out to the beach to do it.
Yeah, workman's comp.
No, that's so. Let me say, claim being laughed out of court.
How you doing? You want to file a workman's comp? You did what now? I hit myself. I was ziplining. Do you work for a ziplining company? No, I work for Coca-Cola.
But I was checking my email while I was on the zip line. Does that count? No, that doesn't count, you idiot.
No, I mean, workman's comp is a part of it. But yeah, if it's something in... Okay, the only time you're going to get workman's comp doing a Zoom call or something like that is if the computer... company does something that makes your computer explode and you get shrapnel in the face.
Exactly.
I mean, that's an interesting stat. I'm not going to look for it because I'm lazy, but I would be willing to bet you that during, this is a no-brainer, but I would, during COVID, during shutdown, that workman comp claims probably plummeted.
I would imagine so. I honestly don't feel like going and doing the research to prove that, but it would stand to reason, would it not?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of... Yeah, because construction jobs, they were shut down. You're not going to hurt yourself then. I mean, I still worked because I worked in retail and stuff like that, and people still got hurt. Well, just one person got hurt because she's just a klutz. But, you know.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, I would be willing to bet you that it probably dropped 75%.
Yeah, I would imagine because, I mean, you're not actually going into the office.
Right. Now, you folks who wanted, like, you know, do things remotely. First of all, if you can do your job remotely, that's fantastic, but don't do it on a roller coaster. Okay? Show some restraint. Don't do it at Burning Man.
Right.
I just don't see this as being fundamentally an issue. Like, other than, like, your employees might potentially, depending on what you do, I guess, be subject to the whole, like I said, the jock tax thing, basically. Yeah, I mean, like, the workman's comp thing, like, if they weren't hurt at doing their actual work, like, if them doing their work isn't what caused them getting hurt, no one's got a leg to stand on there.
Nope, not at all. I mean, I can imagine that one day you'll see like a Zoom call. Yeah, if you look at the third quarter stats, we're doing pretty well. Ladies and gentlemen, the Rolling Stones. Oh, got to go. Click.
I'm surprised that sort of thing doesn't happen more often, really.
Right. Right over the person's shoulder. Mick Jagger's showing up. at a strip club. As you can see, our supply and demand thing is doing very well. Just see a set of boobies over the guy's shoulders.
That guy knows how to get stuff done. Let's give him a raise.
Promote that man.
Post haste.
Because he gave us all a raise.
It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. Stick around. So we kind of have a problem a little bit in this country in that there are a lot of people who were just obsessed over, like, Hollywood stars, actors, singers, all that. Like, we see some of the kind of the cult behavior, really, of some of these.
Oh, my God, yeah.
The Swifties. Notably. The
Beehive.
Even, like, the K-pop people who are just weird, man. Like, of it. Like these people, like, literally, we're really fortunate that neither Taylor Swift or Beyonce or BTS have yet to mobilize these people to overthrow a government, because they could probably do it.
Could do it. Taylor Swift just released a new album called Take Back the White House.
My, that'll put January 6th to shame right there.
Yeah, January 6th, people are like, Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. Is that a catapult?
But it does seem like
they're... Shake it off.
But it does seem like there's certain, like, cults of personality that kind of form around, like, celebrities and, well, politicians, as we've seen. Well, I mean, there's honestly a couple politicians that we've seen that over the years. I mean, obviously a current one and a former president as well.
Sure.
But
The Independent came out with an article, kind of what we're talking about. It says people who are obsessed with celebrities may be less intelligent, a study suggests.
And I believe that wholeheartedly.
Absolutely. Because we see these people, the people who pick up like People magazine, who are just obsessed about, you know, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, and is Angelina Jolie going to fight Jennifer Aniston in an octagon, or you know, stuff along that nature.
I would pay to watch that, but my money's on Jolie, honestly.
Oh, she's a dirty fighter, absolutely. So this article, research was conducted using a survey of 1,700 adults who completed a series of tasks, including a 30-word vocabulary test and a digit symbol substitution test. They also completed a celebrity attitude scale questionnaire created in order to establish how interested they were in famous people. The questionnaire required people to answer simply yes or no to a series of statements. These included, quote, I often feel compelled to learn the personal habits of my favorite celebrity. I am obsessed by, close quote, I am obsessed by details of my favorite celebrity's life. If I were lucky enough to meet my favorite celebrity and he or she asked me to do something illegal as a favor, I would probably do it.
To be fair, a lot of people, if you ask them to do something illegal, and if you know who the person is, would probably do it.
I mean, I can cut to the dark meat of this matter, and that is people who are less intelligent, and some people who they obsess about things. They obsess about some. A lot of these people, they obsess about celebrities. There's people who obsess about hockey. There's people that obsess.
I've never met anyone who obsesses about hockey.
Not at all. There's people that obsess about religion. You've met those people where everything leads to the Bible or hell, or, you know, I don't understand this. I don't like it. So that it's from Satan. And a lot of those people.
I sadly have met those people.
A lot of those people, if you ask them their SAT scores, it's like, oh, I don't subscribe to any streaming services.
I don't play fantasy hockey, thank you very much.
Right. So, I mean, the people who were conducting this survey, they knew what they were going for. And they were not rating well.
But it's not surprising. I mean, you kind of expected that to be the case because the people who are that just obsessed with people, like the dating lives of people that they don't know.
Right.
That's already weird enough in itself. And then the people who, like, know, like, every single detail of Taylor Swift's life. Like,
yeah.
The whole, like I even heard it in, like, oh, some credit card commercial. Not too long ago. 13, room 13, that's Taylor's lucky number. Yeah. Like, the fact that you know stuff, that yeah. stuff about somebody, like, it's just weird to me that you obsess on the details of anybody's. I don't obsess that much on the details of the lives of people I actually know and have met.
I mean,
I can tell you what my wife's favorite color a lucky number is. You expect me to to remember the names of all of Taylor Swift's animals? Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. See, now that's something you probably should know. I'm just going to interject here for a moment. You probably should know what your wife's favorite color and maybe her lucky number is.
I don't think those are things that exist.
She probably doesn't even know. I never really thought of it.
Well, no, because normal, well-adjusted adults don't think about these things.
So, I mean, if you gave the same aptitude test to anybody in regards to if they're obsessed with politics, because you meet those people, oh, everything leads back to politics.
Right.
Everything leads back to the Bible. Everything leads back to
it's a lot like the Red Wings.
It's a lot like the Red Wings. I don't know who I would ever say that, but, you know,
I can't imagine.
But you don't really see somebody who has a high IQ, a good learning, good college degree, holds a high position somewhere going, you know what? Brad Pitt really should have just stuck with Jennifer Aniston.
I mean, to be fair, between the two, yeah, I would agree with that statement, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's something I spend my entire waking life thinking about. But, I mean, these are the same people that also get – they're also the ones that seem to get suckered a lot into these to what they're calling parasocial relationships, basically. Like, you feel like – you know this person because you know all these things about them. So
yes.
Say if someone pretending to be them sends you an email like, I need your help. Like, I have this money that I can't access. So if you'll wire me like $5,000, I can write you a check back to get this account back. I'll send you back like 10 times that or something.
Oh yeah. Somebody who's like really obsessed with Metallica supposedly gets a text from Lars Ulrich. And says, yeah, hey, we're almost done with the new album, but man, we're $50 short. Can you help us out?
Because that's the kind of thing that normal rich people do is ask a random fan of theirs.
Sure.
I'm short on money. Can you help me? Can you send me money?
We see that.
And we only accept Amazon gift cards.
Yeah, we only accept Amazon gift cards. And we see these memes all the time, but the thing is, we've been seeing it for years to where, obviously, in some places, it works.
Unfortunately, because I feel like we have to warn a lot of these people about these scammers.
Yeah.
Seems like that happens way too often.
Oh, you go to the post office, you go to banks, they'll have things up there. If somebody's trying to tell you that you need to send money, that's probably a scam, chill out. Your grandkid's probably fine. I mean,
maybe.
So,
we can't guarantee that, but we're pretty sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, and unfortunately, these... I'm just going to say weak-minded people, they are targets for scams because of their obsession with other things, whether it be a movie or a celebrity or whatever. Because
I saw this happen to somebody the other day, as someone that you and I both know, a faceless Facebook profile that had the name of a celebrity commented, you know, one of those really generic sounding, like, thank you for supporting my career. Like, I hope I would like to be good friends with you. Would you send me a private message on here and we can talk more or whatever? And I think actually might have. He was responding back to this person.
I mean, yeah, I've had situations recently where somebody supposedly liked a picture, like a comment of mine. And then I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I've always been a fan of their work. And then I'd check it out, and their Facebook page has, like, you know, 13 followers.
Right.
It just started last week.
Yeah, because, like, I've noticed, and just certainly doing what we do, like, when I used to, you know, regularly do new episodes of Soundcheck, me tag bands and, you know, things, like, national acts, like, we would actually see, like, actual pages of bands and artists and things that would like and comment, but then every so often you would see something somewhere where it is someone who's just okay, this page is like, okay, it has like 13 friends and no information about this person.
Yes.
Like this is quite, they're liking every single comment and commenting in the comments like, here, I'm looking to give away money. Message me. Like,
right.
Like, and people are this.
My favorite is like when supposedly Michael Jackson, who's been dead since 2009, sends people, oh, I need money to finish my finish my album. Come on.
That people are dumb enough to fall for it, and this, unfortunately, backs that up.
Yes.
A little too much. So, a public service announcement. If you are the kind of person that like obsesses over celebrity relationships and like all the intimate, you know, the personal details of celebrities, like just maybe a good idea for you to never actually use Facebook Messenger. A public service announcement brought to you by Happy Hour. Happy hours. We get set to get the hell out of Dodge on a Thursday afternoon. But
Thirsty Thursday.
Don't go anywhere because, yeah, Adam's, I think he's just playing just an hour of songs with booze in the name or something.
You know what? I should do that. I know I could pad a whole show of just songs with whiskey in the title.
We've talked about doing that. Yeah, like, you've mentioned it. You've even said on session, I should probably just do a whole show with this one day.
Just go ahead and just shut up and do it. That'd be great.
Yeah, maybe that's the management plan that for next week.
There you go.
In the meantime, session is next. All being well, talk to you tomorrow at 3. See ya.